I'll just be honest with you and upfront with you about some things. As a preacher, I do due diligence that to prepare messages and sermons, and all the way up until this morning, I thought we were going to be in 1 Corinthians. But as may happen to you, God uses the scriptures in some powerful ways when we're doing our daily devotions. And I trust you do daily devotions. You're in the Word on a regular basis. And this morning, I got to tell you that as I was doing my Bible reading, it just confronted me that, you know what? We as a church need this. We need to hear this. And it's okay to step aside from a series that we're in and do something a little bit different. And I believe what we're going to look at today is a very appropriate challenge for us as we begin a new year. 2015 is upon us. And many times we take this opportunity to do resolutions and make goals, and we look back at all that has happened in the past year, and we talk about changes that need to be made or whatever. But what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at an exhortation given by an old man to a group of people who had seen God work in many ways, in mighty ways. And yet what he shares with them is what we would think something obvious, but yet they needed to hear it. And I believe it will be a fitting challenge for us as a church. So I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. As you're turning there, the book of Joshua, it tells us what takes place following the death of Moses. We remember that Moses was the leader that God chose to bring the people out of Egypt from that captivity. And he had led them in the wilderness. He had gone up on Mount Sinai and he received God's law. Led them 40 years in the wilderness. But he was not allowed to enter into the promised land because of some anger and lack of self-control, sin in a situation with water, bringing water to the people. You remember the story. And so he died on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And Joshua was commissioned to follow in his steps and to lead. I believe at that time that Joshua, he might have been around 80 years old when Moses died. We don't know exactly for sure. If you look at Caleb's life, we do know that Caleb, how old he was. Joshua would have been around 40 when he left Egypt. He would have remembered Egypt, the slavery, very well there. You remember he was Moses' right-hand man. He would go to battle. He was kind of the military general for the people of Israel. And remember that Joshua and Caleb were one of the 12 spies that went to spy out the land of Canaan. They returned back, and Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, "We can do this. God will fight for us." And so Joshua and Caleb were promised that they will enter into the promised land, but everyone else, 20 years old and higher, they would die in the wilderness. And so therefore the 40-year wandering. And so so Moses dies, and so Joshua's probably around 80 years old. And he leads the people across the Jordan River. Remember, the Jordan is at flood stage, and the Jordan parts, and it's dry land. And again, incredible miracles are taking place to lead God's people. And they go and they attack Jericho, and they attack all of these different nations in Canaan. And we come down here to chapter 23, and look at verse 1. "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, and Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." How would you like that said about yourself? To be waxed old and stricken in age. Again, I believe he was Well, we know that he died at the age of 110, and so this must have been just prior to his death. Verse 2, Joshua calls for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. I want to pay attention this morning to several actions and verbs that are in this text. And we're going to make application for us today. And I want us to realize something, that the church is it's a very different context than what we're looking at here with the people of Israel. And as we're talking about the people of Israel, they had a law that they had to abide by. And we're talking about the Lord granting them victories. These were military victories over the people of Canaan. And God had promised to drive them out. The church is a different context, but God is still the same God, and he still has the same power and still has the same abilities, and he still wants to do powerful and mighty things in our lives today. And something we can learn here in verse 3 is Joshua is reminding these leaders that you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done. There's a call to observe and remember what you've seen. Let's talk about what they've seen. The people of Israel, they watched the walls of Jericho fall down just because they walked around it and yelled and obey God. And the walls of Jericho came down. They watched their enemies flee and run from them. They watched giants fall. Little giants lived in the land, and the people of Israel defeated them. You have seen these things, people of Israel. You have seen mighty things done, and God is the one who has done them. Well, church, have you seen God do mighty things? You know, this is a question that you're coming up a little bit blank. Maybe it's a difficult question to think about. Because, let's face it, we haven't marched around a city and seen walls fall down, have we? What has God been doing? What mighty things has God done? Take some time to think about that. A couple things that come to my mind. I think about the relationship God has given to me with my wife. And I think about the times that I have offended her, and I've seen God do mighty things in bringing reconciliation in our relationship. God is a mighty, mighty relationship builder, and he keeps us tight. It's a mighty thing for God to take two very different people and unite them together. Just this past week, I had a very challenging visit that I had to make. And I asked some folks to pray for me. And you never know what you're going to face, what you're going getting into when you go on these things. You receive these calls. And I was physically shaking as I left because the internal battle, the intensity of knowing I needed to go and speak God's truth and represent God in a situation, but yet knowing that I had no clue what was going on. I didn't know what I was going to face. There's just a lot of unknowns. And there's this battle, this fear, trust, fear, trust, fear, trust. And on my way there, you know, God, in his mighty way, reminded me that I hadn't done my Bible reading that day. And so I pulled over to the side of the road, and I spent some time in the Word. And God used that word, that specific passage, to be a catalyst in that visit. I wasn't prepared for that, but God prepared me. That's a mighty work of God. Now you might not say, you know, that's not, well, you know what's mighty in my life? Because I see God taking a man who just, he's helpless to solve situations, and God uses his word through people to minister. Mighty things that God has done in your life. Make note of them. Talk about them. Joshua, his purpose here is he's reminding the people of Israel of who they are. You have seen incredible things done by the hand of God. God has done them. Don't you forget it. Notice verse 3 again. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Oh, church, we've been studying in 1 Corinthians, and we need to get this, that it's about giving God glory. May no man glory in the flesh, but in we must glory in God. And the people of Israel, they are being reminded here by their aged leader, the Lord your God is the one who has fought for you. I want you to notice verse 4. Behold, Joshua says, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. The key word in that verse is remain. Because what did God tell the people of Israel? Go in and drive them all out. But if you read through the book of Joshua, you realize that all of them have not been driven out for various different reasons, and they're not all apparent in the scriptures, but they're not all out. And notice here Joshua says, behold, I've divided unto you by lot these nations that remain. There are still nations that remain, and they are your inheritance. Drive them out. Verse 5, and the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. Notice that word, that verb, you shall possess. You shall possess. And it is because of a promise that the Lord has given to them. The Lord has promised to drive these people out, to give them a promised land, and the Lord in his faithfulness wants to give them a land that is wholly devoted to him. And these idolatrous nations, they do not have a place in an area, in a nation that is wholly devoted to the Lord. You shall possess. This is your land. And I love how it says, the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Promises. You know, as we talk about and think about promises, let's talk about them on a human realm. When you make a promise, you are making a commitment. You are saying that this will happen, or this won't happen. It should be somewhat of a terrifying thing, because as we make a promise, it demands of us a responsibility and a presence to keep these things. And I'm sure at times all of us have been there when we have not kept our word, or we've not been able to keep our word, and all of that, all that happens there. But here we're dealing with the promises of the Lord, and the Lord granting his people these promises. And again, God's people are told to trust in the promises of God. Are you trusting in the promises of God? Yes, we've entered into a new year, and you know, this is a perfect time
to step back and think, you know what? There's a lot of things that are ahead. I have seen God do mighty things in the past. I can trust the Lord to help me walk forward. Why? Because of the precious truths that God gives us. In church, the New Testament primarily is full of truths that focus. Their focus is the church, is you and me. And as you spend time reading the scriptures, pay attention to the precious promises of God. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 6, Joshua continues on and he says, "Be you therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." You know, this is a very clear direction. There is one way for you to be living, and that is to be living in obedience to God. Listen, church, man, woman, child, may the year before you, may it not be a year where you compromise, where you make decisions to live for God in all the areas except for one or two. May this year be a year where you say, "I am not going to go to the right. I am not going to go to the left. I am going to be wholly devoted to my Lord." He says here, be courageous. Why? Why does he say, be courageous to keep and to do God's law? I believe we experience that every day. Why courage is something needed here. Because every single day, it takes courage for a Christian to wake up and say, "I'm going to obey God today. No matter what I face, I'm going to choose to obey my God." Now, for the people of Israel, they had the law of Moses. And if you've read through the law of Moses, I have no idea how they cope with all those laws. I don't know how they had enough time in the day for all those sacrifices. Millions of people, one tabernacle, and groups of, how can they do all of that? I don't know. And all of the minute different details of the law. But they were commanded, and it took courage to keep and to do all that was written in God's law. There's a world around us, and we know it, that is walking contrary to the law of God. It is attractive. It's attractive to our flesh. It's drawing to us. We experience the temptations every day. Church, be courageous, be strong, and trust in the Lord. What did he say to Joshua in the very beginning? Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Remind you of what it says in verse 8 of Joshua 1, where he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So, pay attention and remember what God has done, those mighty things. And take courage to keep and to do all that God has commanded you to do. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Those detours are troublesome, painful, difficult, pleasure for a season. It saddens my heart. It angers me when I see people, because of their sin, the situations that they're in. It angers my own heart when I choose to sin. And you deal with the consequences of those sin. You know, it's have a passion and an anger against sin. Hate it. And be courageous to live for God. Let's continue reading here, verse 7, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. There was to be a complete separation from idolatry. Now notice verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. And here's the central point. Is in order for all of us to have this kind of success, we need to be clinging with all of our might to our Lord. Nobody can tell you that you can do these things on your own. You've got to cling to the Lord. You know, when I think of that word cling, and it's cleave here. This is a tight bond, and I think of my children. So often they will come up to me when I come home, and they'll wrap themselves around my feet, and they expect me to walk around the house this way. And they wrap themselves on, and they hold tight, because they don't want to be the ones knocked off, but they're clinging tightly to their daddy. Because they want to be close to me. They want to hold me and be tight. There's a drawing that connects a child to the Father. And you know what? Think about your daddy God. And may you find yourself in a place where you wrap your arms and your legs around him tight. And you hold to him throughout the day. So whether you face a difficult conversation or you have a challenging thing at work or you have a situation that happens in your week and you're ready to throw up your hands and say, I don't know, I give up. Hold tight to the Lord. Hold tight, cling to him. And whatever image you have in your mind of something clinging, use that image to remind you of how and where you need to be in relationship to God. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord, verse 9, hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fights for you, as he hath promised. I love the passage. There's several places in the Bible where it talks about how the Lord fights for his people. And I trust that can be an encouragement to you as it can be to me. As I read over this passage this morning, it was a great blessing to my heart. And it was a reminder. You know, I know that most of you know these truths. But I trust as you come and fellowship together that you come with this heart ready to be either reminded of profound things and truth, maybe to learn new things, But as you come, you realize that God wants you to hear this word. And you're sitting here and you're being reminded of God's promises. You're being reminded of God's and his mighty things that he has done, of his law and how you need to obey it, of where you need to be clinging close to him. Now notice verse 11. Take heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Wow. How am I supposed to be thinking and acting? It says here, be careful that you're loving God. Be careful that that's your heart. That you are holding tight to him and that you are loving him. You know, as we think about this concept of love, and sometimes it can be hard to grasp and hard to describe. I define love as it's an action word. Although, yes, it is a noun. In order for true love to be understood and expressed, action is involved. Because as you have love, there is an action of embrace, there's an action of fondness, there is action of obedience, of heeding, of closeness. It is very clear and apparent when there is love. Indeed, the New Testament speaks of God's love for us through an action. It's the action of God sending his Son. And that Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross. And that, in my heart at least, that's the ultimate depiction of love. And there's action. And so more than just saying, I love God, the text here says, be careful, take heed that you are loving the Lord your God. So think in your own heart and evaluate. I can say, oh yes, I love God, but is it true? Is it displayed in the way I live? Do you have a longing to be close to the Lord? Maybe you've missed a day or two, maybe a week of Bible reading. Is there a hunger to return there? You know, return to the feet of Jesus and his word. It's an expression of love. In this context, love the Lord your God. It was seen by their obedience to God's law. It was seen by their trust in his promises. That phrase, be careful, take heed that you love the Lord your God, got my attention this morning. Because it's more than just a instruction, it's a warning. It's, hey, pay attention. Be careful. You need to be doing this. This needs to be a part of your life. Take time to evaluate your heart. As Joshua, as he closed his time on earth, he knew the end was nearing for him. And he gave this address to the people of Israel. And as he did, I want to draw our attention now over to chapter 24. Because as he closed his address and actually closed his life, Joshua had some very profound and challenging things to say. We will close with these words. Look at Joshua 24, verse 15. Let's start at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood,
or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Serve the Lord. The call here in this text is not for mediocrity. It is not for compromise. But it is for a whole heart to be devoted to the Lord, to cling to Him, to serve Him. And God, using Joshua here, puts these questions and this challenge before the people of Israel, and He brings them to a crossroad. You know, so often we will come to a crossroad where we have to make a choice or a decision, and we will put it off. We will say, we don't want to make this choice now. Or we'll come to a point and we will choose, rather, instead of serving God, we will choose to serve ourselves, and we will compromise. Today, church, is the day that we need to say, today I will make the choice and decision that I will serve the Lord. With my whole heart. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. That is a verse that I have up in our home on a shelf on a big plaque. What a reminder every time I look at that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, men, you can't get away from it. Joshua is leading his home here. Are you leading yours? Men, are you? The scriptures are clear. We must lead our families. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you notice here, he says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Choose. And he's honest with them. He says, if you feel like you can't, if it's evil for you to choose to serve the Lord, well, then just choose today. You're going to serve these other false gods. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to serve the Lord. It's almost as if he drew a line in the sand and he said, if you're going to choose to serve the Lord, take a step. Take a step and choose. You know, there's action there, making a choice. And maybe that's what you need to do in your life. Maybe you need to just take some time and choose consciously. You know what? I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to lead you, my family. I'm going to lead you in the Lord. Get some accountability. Children, today, you can make this decision to choose to serve the Lord. To choose to obey what God's word tells you to do and to heed God as your parents are instructing you to do. Well, I trust that this has been a good reminder to you as it has been to me. Our God is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He desires all praise and all glory. And He desires our whole heart. Are you clinging to Him? Are we trusting His promises? Are you spending time remembering the mighty things that He has done in your life? Have you purposed in your heart and in your home to choose to serve the Lord? Thank you, God, for this reminder and for the challenge that it has been to our hearts. I want to thank you, Lord, for reminding me how important it is that I, on purpose, seek to live for you. God, I get so busy with life and so many things going on and demands and a lot of them good things, God.
But Lord, I needed this reminder to get my attention, to remind me where I need to be focused. Focused upon you and living for you this year. Church, let's just take a moment now in silence in your own heart. I want to ask you to contemplate the words that we have read today in Joshua. These challenging truths. I want you to talk to God about them and engage your heart and your mind over what the Spirit is speaking in your heart right now through His Word. God, honor the prayers of your people. God, you are a great God, mighty. You fought for your people. And God, you fight for us today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God, you know each and an individual heart that's here today. You know the burdens that are weighing them down. You know the distractions that are seeking to draw them off to the right or to the left. God, strengthen your people. God, I pray that we would have a whole heart, a heart that is wholly devoted to you. God, I pray that we would be a church, a people that choose today to serve you. Lord, we might not know everything that means. It might mean much sacrifice. It might mean some changes. But God, give us courage to take that step and to choose. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for I just love how your Spirit is at work. And just knowing that, God, as we faithfully teach and preach and read your word, God, that you will work. I'm trusting in that today, Lord. In Jesus' name.